Rebecca?
Come on yet, but I just got on myself, so.
All right, thank you.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Okay. You'll find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix on section row 11, second column from the left. When that landing page opens up, scroll down to class number 24. And that's where we are beginning in chapter 21, section 1, titled The Foundation of Teshuvah. I'll wait about a minute to make sure that you have time to get the handouts.
Yes, I found it.
Okay, are you the only one on, honey?
No, Malka's on.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. For some reason, I didn't have this one printed, and of course, I've missed 2 weeks. So, but I checked back on the recording to see what was the last one. But I didn't have this one, this handout. So I don't know if I missed that class before or not.
That whole page is a little vermished in that sense. Because the way we've been going through the classes this time is a lot different than last.
Okay.
So I will begin by reading. Please note that there are now links to the footnotes in each section. Our page is set so you can click to go to the footnote, and then after reading the footnote, click to return to your place. This became necessary due to the change in translator and commentator. Please let me know if this is a meaningful tool for you or not, as it is time-consuming to set up on the pages. Teshuvah is a function of Ima, and Gilgul is a function of Abba. Footnote number one, I'm clicking to go there. Footnote number one says, this is what was alluded to above in chapter 20, when it spoke about the Yud, which the Zohar says refers to the Sefirah of Hakba, being the secret of Gilgul, of reincarnation. I'm now returning to where we were.
Okay, I don't understand where you click. I see the one, Abba 1, but where do you click to get the footnote 1?
It's at the bottom of the page. It's footnote number 1.
Okay, so you have to go all the way to the end of the handout?
Yes, if you're reading it, that's what you have to do. If you're reading directly from the web page, the clicking takes you there. And then back.
Well, I see it printed blue, but it doesn't look blue on the website, so
it's blue on the website. Once you click on it now,
it's just very light. Okay, so you click on that number one there, and then
correct.
It pops away. Okay, I see it now. Okay, thank you.
Okay, continuing to read. Therefore, anyone who sins and does teshuvah, ima ila'a, the supernal ima, which is called teshuvah, rectifies the blemish, which is sufficient. Unwritten commentary. Essentially, teshuvah is another code word for bina.
Ah.
That gives you a lot of insight, doesn't it?
All right. Have we heard that before?
No, we have not heard that before. This is the first time that, I have, but this is the first time that I'm being taught.
Okay.
If he does not do teshuvah, then he will have to reincarnate to rectify his sins. However, if he does do teshuvah, then he will have to reincarnate to rectify his sins, a function of Abba, which is called makshava. Thought, footnote number 2. Footnote number 2 says, they, all of the sparks, are elevated through thought, which is Chachma. That's from the Zohar. Returning to where we left. With respect
okay,
to
we've
this
been getting
system,
that. We've been getting that from Tikkuni Zohar, right? I'm
yes,
trying to
that's
okay.
Exactly where that comes from.
Okay.
So you see how all of the information has to be integrated to be able to be utilized and and live, essentially, using it in your life. With respect to this, it says, he thinks thoughts, devises means in Hebrew, koshev makshavot, so that he who is banished is not cast away from him. Since by bringing him back in reincarnation, he rectifies his transgression. The point is that God is in his love is so concerned about fixing the soul that he always provides a means for its repair. The best thing is if one takes the initiative to fix himself through teshuvah. If not, providence still steps in and shuffles the life cycle. This requires an even greater juggling of destiny than if one repents. Therefore, it comes from Abba, a higher source than Eva. My commentary. This comment by Rabbi Auerbach is difficult for me to understand. I can understand that Teshuvah is a female aspect since it is related to creation. The worlds or movies, as we have discussed in the basic class of Teshuvah, are essentially a creative act. We can also understand that when someone does Teshuvah, they return to a higher level. When it comes to reincarnation, there is no guarantee that the mistake or the sin will be rectified in that lifetime either. The guarantee is that it will be rectified, but not which lifetime will rectify it. If one does teshuvah for actions in this lifetime, then we can understand the comment above by Rabbi Auerbach. Yet Kabbalah explains that we need to actually go back to the first lifetime that we did that mistake in order to rectify the action to the fullest extent. In that case, it seems to me that Teshuvah becomes higher than the reincarnation process, since it creates worlds and it cleanses worlds. Perhaps this will be clarified in the rest of the classes and personal study. Perhaps we need to contact Rabbi Auerbach and ask him to clarify it. Lee Nader, I will do that in the future. And since that comment, Rabbi Auerbach, who I believe has passed away, which is why the... Rabbi Auerbach is the... He is the second, I'm confused. I'm not sure if he is the first translator or the second. So, but I have not as yet contacted him.
I'd like to ask a question. I'm not sure it's appropriate this time, so you can stop me if it isn't. But a person who passed away this past Shabbat before Rosh Hashanah and was buried before the second day of Rosh Hashanah ended. So technically, all that period, Gehinnom would have been, I call peaceful, I don't know what to say, you know, on Shabbat there's rest. So does that mean that soul would have missed going to Gehinnom? then would have been. No? Okay.
No. The confusion part is I remember, and from what you've said, I would have guessed it anyway. This person is not Jewish.
No, he is. He was a convert.
But how could he be buried on the second day of Rosh Hashanah?
Because you live in Southwest Louisiana, and you have a rabbi that commutes to come to services, and before he goes back 250 miles, he does the funeral.
Well, that, you're getting into a very gray area that I don't really want to go into.
Okay.
Because
that's okay. I appreciated my question with it.
I've never answered anybody's questions, any students' questions with, I don't want to talk about that. It's not a good question. It is a good question. The reason I don't want to talk about it is because it gets into this area of there are teachings in the Orthodox community that says a Shabbat, once a convert has done, once a convert has been accepted as a convert, then every Shabbat of that person's life after that, it is necessary for them to keep the Shabbat as best they know. Or the additional soul that is given to them in the moment of the mikveh does not return to them after that Shabbat, where they've not kept the Shabbat. And that's not something I've read in the reincarnation classes. It's not something that has been discussed in detail. So I am not yet ready to accept that as truth. But if it was truth, there's lots of implications from that statement.
This particular person had dementia and so wasn't able to for quite a while.
Tana, if that person, from the time that the fact that they have dementia is a klipa over their memory.
Okay.
So that person, with the first Shabbat that was not kept, the additional soul would not have come back. If that teaching is correct, as I said, I'm not ready to accept it. So it enters into a gray area, which is why I said I didn't want to discuss it at length. Because
I was always a little disappointed with that concept, because I felt like when the wrestling that I went through before coming to know that Hashem was the ultimate sovereign and choosing to convert, and the years of being able to carry that out and having to, you know, end up going to New York. And I always felt like it wasn't an additional soul. I got a new soul. So I never had felt comfortable with that that idea of an additional soul. Yes, an additional soul maybe on Shabbat, but that's just me. So, and I can be wrong a lot of times every day, you know. So, but for me, you know, I still need to hear more before I can come to a decision that I believe it was an additional soul.
It's not a question of, because it's really nomenclature. The additional soul comes from the Midrash, or the concept of the word additional comes from the Midrash that talks about how the mountain of Sinai was hung over the nation that if you accept the Torah, fine, but if you don't, I'm going to drop the mountain. And so it's at that midrash is essentially doesn't explain it, but it hints to that the additional soul was given to every Jewish soul at that moment. And what that additional soul is it creates a larger desire to receive. And that is the definition of a Jewish soul. So whether it's a new soul or an additional soul, it's essentially saying the same thing.
I'll think about it.
Okay.
I mean, I've thought about it for 25 years,
all answers become clear in the 26th year, he says, tongue in cheek.
Okay. All right. Okay. I love my future. I want you to know that. and it doesn't mean I don't agree with you. It's just that I know what struggle I went through, and just always feeling as a child I didn't belong where I was, and I don't know. But that's enough. I mean, that helped me clarify. The reason I ask you the question, because I felt like it would, if it would have been that. Well, I don't have to say anything, but it would have been something I could have carried on with the conversation to give his wife some solace and possibly peace and possibly even introduce her to Kabbalah and Zohar. So it just shows me I need to be quiet. I don't need to say anything this time.
Well, I'm not sure I've really answered your question about, because the issue relates to, if you think about it, we don't bury people on holiday. And the reason we don't is because it's a creative act. You can destroy on holidays.
I don't need to tell her that. She'll learn it one of these days, but right now it's too raw of a subject, So I'm glad I asked the question, and I'll just do a little bit more wrestling, I'm in that fourth camp, in the north, and Naphtali and Aquarius. I mean, I line up with everything within that group of where the camp was.
Right.
And of course, my north node is above that one, so the third camp. And Naphtali means wrestling, so I'll just keep wrestling with Hashem. Which is a good thing. It's not bad.
Understood. So I guess we're going to start reading again.
Okay, I'm sorry if I interrupted you too long.
Yeah, there is no such thing as an interruption for a question. Even if I I'll go off track, it just means we're going to come to cover this material another time. But eventually it'll all get covered. And the questions are always related. Interruptions are part of the plan of creation. You just have to understand it that way.
Right. Well, so much now is we're starting to put to practice what we've been learning with you for quite a number of years. But now we're actually getting into the experiential everyday life. It's no longer just, you're learning about it. Now we're having to put it to practice. And, we're in a different stage. Hopefully,
right.
Our grade.
And that is the purpose of the teachings, is to have people utilize it in their lives.
Right. Okay.
I'm starting to read again. We will now explain the concept of Teshuvah, since we already began in Chapter 6 discussing the steps of Teshuvah, of which there are 8. However, here we will discuss it in another manner, and in the process explain the statement of Rabbi Matya ben Cheresh in the last chapter of the book of Yoma in the Talmud, regarding the 4 divisions of atonement. One who transgresses a positive mitzvah and repents. And it goes on to explain all those different options. In general, teshuvah means tashuv hay, restore the hay. For as is well known, man incorporates all the worlds. Even though he may not presently merit all of them, perhaps only the nefesh of asiyah, still he is created with the potential to achieve all of them through his actions. All those levels that become dependent upon him as he grows. According to his actions, he can achieve either Yetzirah, Bria, or Atzilut. This is the secret of the verse. He creates the Ruach of man within him. As the Midrash says, the nefesh of a person grows while it is within him. The soul of a person grows while it is within him. A person needs to train and educate himself in order to literally raise his own spirit. Train a child according to his way. One needs to learn the nature of his soul and what speaks to it. This means uplifting the soul in the manner that works for it. For some, this means increased self-discipline. For others, it means to ease up and increase patience. At times, both are necessary at the same time. Prayer is imperative to help call the shot and know at each time what will be productive and conducive to growth. These paragraphs are basically hinting at the concept of relativity, that it depends on the situation, the souls involved, and that defines the right action. I am adding, the active process of prayer is to strengthen the connection to Hashem, which provides an increased sense of intuition, which can then be called upon in order to know what is the right action to produce one's teshuvah, meaning returning or reconnecting the hey to the vav of the name Yud Hey Vav Hey. This is more than a metaphorical action. The negative action one does literally as well as metaphorically separates the Malchut frame of reference from the Zeranpin frame of reference. Actually, the worlds are separated, creating a separation between the two worlds and interrupting the flow of Shefa to the physical world. Do not concern yourself with how a world can be separated and still receive some of the Shefa. Any blockage to Shefa is a separation between the worlds on the spiritual level. And as a continuing unwritten commentary, the idea of a rope that's made up of multiple strands of thread, if some of the threads tear or break, that does not disconnect all of the rope, but it does lessen whatever is coming through those threads, which is the way to understand how you can have broken, separated the hay, but not necessarily all of it, and some of it still flows through from the Shefa. continuing to read. It all depends upon this idea of tashuv hay, restoring the hay. Restore malchut to Hashem, the true King of Kings. Self-awareness comes from malchut. The ego separates the self from Hashem. Repentance means realizing that it's not me, it's all God. This restores the soul to its source in divinity. I am adding, it is highly recommended to read the above statement repeatedly. It can be used as a mantra to change yourself, to lower the ego, to connect to Hashem with a stronger connection. However, there is a great difference between one who merits one level as opposed to another level, and this leads to another principle. The nefesh of a person includes 248 limbs and 365 tendons, as well as the ruach, as well as the neshama. When a person sins, he causes blemish to the limbs of his nefesh, or to his ruach, or to his neshama, or to all three, or two of the three. This gives reason to always be careful when one does, be careful with what one does with his limbs in all actions. Whatever happens below, so causes the parallel to happen above. Moreover, the state of the body by the revival of the dead is determined by what one does here while alive. If someone causes a defect in a limb, it will be incomplete in the next world. For example, one who withheld his hand from giving charity might get up from the grave handless. A general precautionary remedy is to always be giving, sharing, and loving. My commentary. The above commentary causes a question to be asked. The Zohar elsewhere indicates that upon the resurrection, the person will arise from the grave in the same physical state that he went into the grave. This is interpreted to mean if someone dies after a long illness, their physical appearance of weakness and pallor, etc., will be how they arise at the resurrection. Then the soul will immediately repair the body to its natural state of health at the age desired by the soul parts that corrected during that lifetime. This is indicating a significant difference between what the Mishnah of Yoros is saying. How do we reconcile these aspects? One is speaking of the soul, which people will be able to see like they can see the body in this world. After all, the body, which is what the other Zohar is describing, is still only an illusion, since it must transform itself even more in the world that is coming. To understand this more deeply, study the four phases and know that our bodies represent the fourth phase, which is malchut, the highest, strongest desire to receive. The extent of his sin will depend upon what he has thus far achieved. If he has only his nefesh, then he will blemish the nefesh. If the ruach, then the ruach. If the neshama, then the neshama. So according to the greatness of a person's nefesh is the strength of a person's evil inclination. As the Talmud says, anyone who is greater than his friend, his evil inclination, is accordingly greater. Anyone who is greater than his friend, his evil inclination is greater. Therefore, it is not at all surprising if at times great people seem to fall into terrible things. Rabbi Nachman states that the public is mistaken in certain issues. For one, they think that a tzaddik cannot make a mistake. And if for some reason he does, he is not anymore a tzaddik. The truth is, the bigger they are, the higher, and I am adding deeper, they fall. The purpose of descent is for ascent. Seven times falls the tzaddik and gets up, is a proverb. Were it not that he fell, he would not have gotten up. One who gets up after stumbling stands up stronger than he did before. The reason is because God made a counterpart for everything. And therefore, just as there is Atzilut Bria Yetzirah Nasiya on the side of holiness, so too is there on the side of the Klipot as well. This is the secret of the wicked one watches for the righteous, because he wants to mimic the side of holiness, like a monkey does a man. The as-if equal aligning of the Sitra Akra opposite the Kedusha preserves the necessary balance of free will. One is alerted not to follow the impersonation, rather to constantly look for the real thing. The Zohar provides the monkey parable to describe the whole workings of the Sitra Akra. Realizing this, one is alerted not to follow the impersonation, rather to constantly look for the real thing. In simple terms, the heart is to always look for the, and I am adding, look for or look to honor of God in every thought, word, and deed, and not for the honor of the ego. Rabbi Elkanon Wasserman used to say that Darwin was only able to entertain his theory because he never saw a great tzaddik. For if he had, he would have experienced the real truth of how the true plateau of man is so far above, aloof, and removed from even the most sophisticated similar animal, that there is no place for any supposition that he comes from it. Nonetheless, every false city must contain some light and have some source in truth. The order of the supernal worlds is arranged in an order of the evolution principle. One level is as if born and evolving from the level above it. They so develop and progress, coming to a climax in this world. This is footnote 6. Footnote 6 is, even though this world is last in levels, it is first in thought and last in deed. The point of it all, in this sense, it is the grand crescendo and the climax. Returning. Continuing. The chain cascading downward order of rungs features the inner divine light, clothed more and more as it descends. The final product is this world of dense physicality. It is rock bottom where the buck stops. It becomes the arena for free will. The stage is set for man to reverse direction and ascend back up through the worlds. The Torah is God's prescribed formula for reverse evolution. It guides a person step by step to ascend to higher and higher levels of revelation of divinity. The material nature thereby becomes elevated and cleansed. My commentary. How science is seen as comparable to spiritual knowledge is seen in the comments made above. The theory, the bold parenthesis of evolution, is just that, a theory. The modern Kabbalists teach that the theory is correct, except it gets one aspect wrong. We evolve down until we choose to learn how to elevate ourselves back to the Keter level of the Ein Sof, which is still the place where we all live. As much as science would like to make it so, we do not live in this world. We exist in it. We tour it. We do work for the Creator in it. That's the end of the section.
I don't think we ought to cut and paste that paragraph and put it in front of us.
I was about to say, I think we were going to stop right here anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any questions?
Well, it's a powerful lesson.
This morning, like that as well. So you can put that to the power of the Shabbat, having been very chic yesterday. Any questions?
No, I think that's okay for me. Malka, if she has something.
No, I don't have anything.
All right. So tomorrow we have the two classes at 4:30 for Deep Zohar, and at 7 o'clock for the Ari on the Parsha of Noah.
Okay.
Shavua Tov.
Okay.
Have a beautiful Shalom.
Shavua Tov.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.